So let's welcome him up.
Hey, give him a hand and give the worship team, come on, give them a round of applause. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is not June, it's not cold, and you know, you feel amazing. You may be seated. Who's looking forward to summer already? Who's fully into winter? Just flowing with it. You're just into it. You're loving it. Yeah. The only time I like winter is when I'm in front of a fireplace. It's too cold. It's too dark. Is that just me? That leads into the heading for my message, Our Light in the Darkness. You know, which is quite funny. I didn't know, my daughter spoke on Friday night. Got the whole thing on video. Dads are allowed to, aren't they? She's giving me a look. But she spoke on light, and I had already written my message, and it's on light. Look at that, sweetie. We're in the flow. I've just sufficiently embarrassed her. Good things going on, don't you think? Who likes a new foyer? Needed an update. The carpet's looking good. It's looking great. Do you know, a few weeks ago, I was at our centre and I was helping set up an email. Believe it or not, I'm a bit of an IT expert, not really. We've got a great team there, a great place. And next minute, this lady bursts in the door and she comes up to the counter. She thought I was the receptionist. And so I didn't know what to do, to be honest. I looked up and she's like, oh, I need to talk to someone. And I watched next minute 4-2 spring into action. And next minute she was there with this lady, and this lady just burst into tears and just says, I've got to talk to someone. I'm so desperate. I've got to talk to someone. Next minute 4-2 takes her into an office. And I just sat there. It all went bang, boom, bam. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? This is awesome. Because you know what? There's not a lot of people that burst into a church during the week who are desperate in need, right? Honestly, they just don't. You don't kick in the door. Do you like that? Years of practice, that is. Gareth taught me everything. Do you know that Gareth is a one Dan or something, full-on martial arts expert. Retired, though. So don't ever sneak up behind him and go boo, because he just it's instinctive, isn't it, Gareth? It's instinctive. He just snaps. I've done it twice. I walk with a limp now. He's a lover, not a fighter. I love that. That's the church, right? That someone can just come off the street, walk into a building, and there is the love of Christ. In someone's heart, and someone's life, and the meeting with the running into someone that has Christ in them. Good things going on. Our light in the darkness. You should see youth on a Friday night. Honestly, I'm very, very, very proud of the youth team. I'm going to boast a bit, but they are white hot, and they run a great program, the whole lot of them. So if you've got kids, to get them into youth, get them into camp. We really believe we've got a great speaker. We've asked them to really go after the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be amazing. So if you've got kids, just clear the decks. Get them into youth. Get them into camp. Get them into youth. John chapter 1, verse 1. Got your Bible? Who's got their Bible? Anybody? Fantastic. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isn't that good? He was in the beginning with God. So there, straight away, it's talking a separation there between the Trinity, right? Talking Jesus here. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Isn't that good? In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We understand in this that the Word is Jesus. So he's created everything. Nothing's happened without him. Simple as that. He creates everything. But what's even more amazing is in what John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Isn't that awesome? So the very Word that created everything, the power of the Word, becomes flesh in the form of Christ. I'm a bit excited. Are you excited? I mean, how do you lock up all that creative power into flesh? That's mind-boggling, isn't it? Universe creating, everything creating. It's just out there. Kind of does my mind in. But that's what happened. That's what we have. But I love this verse 4. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. You know, a lot of people, it's quite interesting, a lot of people when they pass away, one of the things that people see is they see a tunnel and they see light. Just throwing it out there. Maybe that's what the heading towards, because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the light. Our souls need his light. So I wanna teach you something this morning. I wanna talk to you about how you travel through darkness. Is that all right? How you travel through darkness. Because, you know, everyone in this room, we all go through tough times, these challenges. But God's given us a light in us that enables us, as it says here, and the light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not comprehend it. It's a light that shines in your dark circumstances, no matter what they are. And we have prayer requests after prayer requests coming, and we know there's people around us with big challenges, correct? And it's just the way it is. It is life. It's the life that we're in. But you've got to travel with the light that Christ gives you. We need God's light to shine in our darkness. So I want to tell you about two, I think, vital aspects to this light that we have on the inside of us that will help us navigate through a dark time. Because I'm sure there's people, I know there's people within our church, but there's probably people within this room. It's just a tough time. Amen? I had a lunch with a gentleman we all know here, actually. He was part of our Heaven's Gates, Hills Flames. He's the pastor. Great guy. I had lunch with him after the production. We had lunch a week ago. But there's a lot of stuff going around in the world at the moment, isn't there? Don't you realize that there's just a lot of stuff going down? There's plenty of circumstances, and it just seems to be heightened. And anyway, he was telling me about a prophetic thing going around about blood moons and everything. Anyway, we spent all lunch talking about it, 45, 50 minutes, and he was just taken across to New Zealand to speak this message. And there's some stuff going on. More than ever, I think we need to make sure that we have a light lit up in our spirits to keep us firing. Amen? I mean, you hear about all this ISIS and you think of the stuff going on. There's so much stuff going down around this earth. We're going to make sure that we're prepared and ready for anything that happens. Amen? Are you with me? The first light that I think you, well, the revelation that the light that's in you that you need to get your heads around, the first one is the light of acceptance. Write that down. Got your pen? The light of acceptance. You're going through a tough time. You're going to need this. And emotionally, this will be an area that will try to challenge you to get away from this. It'll be an area, if you've spent any time in some darkness or allowing the darkness to descend on you, this is an area that you need to fight for, and you need to have a revelation of this light within you. Let me read this straight out. To be struck by grace does not mean that we are simply making progress in our moral self-control, in our fight against special faults, and in our relationships with others. Moral progress may be a fruit of grace, but it's not grace itself. Listen to this. Grace strikes us when we are in great pain and restlessness. Strikes us when we walk through the dark valley of meaningless and empty life. Grace strikes us when our disgust for our own being or indifference to our weaknesses, our hostility and our lack of direction and our composure have become intolerable to us. That's when grace strikes us. Would you agree? Just think about it. Grace hits you when you are most desperate. Grace hits you when you're feeling unworthy, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling like you don't deserve God's favor, you don't deserve this light that you have in you. That's when grace really kicks in. It's like sometimes there's a wave of light. Whenever you get to a place, when you're standing somewhere, you're feeling disillusioned, you there needs to be this wave of light from God's grace, like a light on your face, just telling you that you're accepted. Are you with me? I had a couple of close friends, people that I know, going through marriage issues and things like that, and I know there's just sometimes where you've just got to know that there is the grace of God. You want to walk out of a place of darkness, you've got to know that you're accepted by God. You can't lose that revelation. You can't lose that light. If that light, if somehow you close or put a damper on or push that light away or hide it away within your spirit, you're gonna struggle to get through any dark time in your life. You cannot be someone that is convinced that you're not accepted. So you're accepted by someone so much greater than you are. You turn that revelation off in your spirit and you're in trouble. Amen? And you know what? I've seen Christians do it. It's not like Christ has taken his spirit out of them, but they've turned the revelation of that light off. And they've started to think because of their circumstances that they're not accepted anymore. And they start to attach themselves to the words of their circumstances. If they're in sin, it's like they attach themselves to that. If they're in hard times, they attach themselves to that. If they might be in a relationship need, they might be in a financial need, and they start to attach themselves to that. And they start to disconnect themselves. You can't do that. Because the very reason for grace is to break through when you're in a tough time and to tell you that no matter what's going on, no matter what you're doing, whatever, you are accepted by Him. You try and close that light off, and people do. It's not like God's taking it. It's just that we lose the revelation of it. The fact is, we are accepted. This is the greatest understanding about grace, because really that's acceptance. The fact is, you've got to experience it. You can't just know about it. You've got to experience it. Amen? You've got to be in a place where you just, maybe you're at your worst, but you're in a place of prayer or something and you feel God's love, you feel His light, and suddenly you just realize and you comprehend that you are accepted by God regardless of whatever is going on. Are you with me? I'm just trying to teach you to get through some darkness, because I know there's a lot of people that are in a place or walking through something, going through something right now, and you need to make sure that you have these lights on in your life. How do we live with the light of acceptance on us? It's not the result of reasoning or spiritual striving, this grace. It's the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, but it's just knowing that you're accepted. And one of the greatest ways to know that you're accepted is communication with God. It's prayer. If you stray from that, then you're going to stray from knowing that you're accepted. Because you need to have experiences with God in your prayer and your reading, and then you just suddenly, it floods back into your spirit that you are accepted by Him. Therefore, you're accepted by someone so much greater than you. Then, therefore, why can't you accept yourself? And why can't you move forward? Why can't you keep moving ahead in your life and building into what God has for you? You know, the most precious moments for me in prayer is the ones where I just letting myself be loved by God and accepted by Him. Have you been there? You know, you put your favorite worship song on. I got the new Hillsong United album, which is very mellow, but I love it. It's very reflective. Anyone listen to that? Is it just me? Some great songs on there, and you just put it in and you sit back and you just allow the love of God to flood you. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." We need it in the dark times. We need to know that we're accepted. And what does it look like? So what does this acceptance looks like? It, you know, the only picture I could describe, it's like a baby in a mother's arms. You know, they're not doing anything. They're absolutely vulnerable. They're harmless. They're just sitting there, but they don't have to do anything to be accepted. Is that right? I know, kind of speaking out to the women there, but you know, when you're that baby's being held, that baby's not doing anything. It doesn't have to strive. It's receiving the love. It's receiving acceptance. It's in the perfect place it could be. That's when you get to that place. That's what feeling that grace in your spirit means. It's when we surrender to the mercy, the forgiveness, the reconciliation, the love that's come from Christ. When we surrender to the fact that we have all of that, stop fighting it. If you fight it, you'll feel unaccepted. We just accept. Are you ready for the second light? You know, the first one is, it's always been hard for me, the acceptance. Because you just always have preconceived ideas that you can be better than you are. And sometimes that alienates you from connecting with God. Anyone else like that, or is it just me? You know, sometimes I battle that. Sometimes I just feel like God says to me, "Hey, all right, we're connecting on a level where you're okay to be who you are right now. I'm happy to hang with you just like that. I know you can be better. I know there's areas in your life you need to work on, and you can be better at what you're doing, and you can be more this and more that, but I'm happy with where you're at." Sometimes it's, you know, the funny thing is when people are going through tough times, they kind of disappear off the radar. Do you know? They hide. You know, I hadn't heard from a friend of mine for a while, and I'm trying to get a hold, finally got a hold of him and find out there's stuff going on in his marriage, and he's just running. You know what I mean? because he's not feeling accepted. He's not feeling connected. He's feeling, you know, like, what am I going to say and how am I going to judge? You know what I mean? You hear what I'm saying? That's what happens in your spirit sometimes when you're not feeling perfect. You just want to run and hide, and it's why people stay away from church and stay away from things, and you're accepted. If you're in this house, we've got the grace of God in our spirits. We accept you for who you are. Amen? The second light. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Second one is the light of hope. The light of hope. Do you want to hear the theological meaning for the word of hope? The Christian hope? Don't be afraid. That's it. Paraphrased all the way down. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Christian hope stands, it stands confident in the face of a turbulent world, in the face of personal sickness or emotional or relationship challenges, financial struggles. You know, for me, it's that voice, the voice of God that's like a light right in the middle of when I get all in turmoil and start thinking all sorts of things and I have to get out of my bed because my mind's racing with all the things I've got to do and haven't done and all the situations going on, and I find myself down to my little lounge in the home theater there and I click in there and I start reading my word, and it's like this voice that normally comes through the word or into my spirit simply says, shh, be still, it's going to be okay. And then when I get that, I'm kind of good. I can, I got it from God. I can move on. I can come out. I can relax again. I can rest again. Nothing's permanent. You've got the hope of Christianity. Whatever you're going through, nothing's permanent. God will get you through it. Amen? Are you with me? Nothing's permanent. It can't be if God's involved in it. I can tell you that. Even if it's not, takes you out of this world, it's not permanent. There's nothing permanent that's against you that can stand against God. Nothing. As much as you think of all the things that are going on right now, you know, you think about some of the biggest challenges that you've had in your life, and when you're in a big challenge, sometimes you just think there's no hope, but you look back a year later and you just think, you know what, that's all changed. That's all different now. Are you with me? I've seen some of the biggest things that have kept me up for nights, and I look back and those things are gone and I'm not even worried about them. They resolved, they sorted themselves out. I gave them to God and God, I've moved on. Are you with me? There's always a hope with God. There's a hope that we have to have in our souls. There's a light that we have to keep lit. Nothing can ever separate us. No troubles and worries, persecutions, no lack of food or clothes or attacks or invasions. There is absolutely nothing in life that will ever stand between us and the love of God, which is our hope. This Christian hope, the spirit that dominates, is it's not reserved for just a future splendor in heaven in the by and by. But it's more than that. It deals with our world right now. It's part of God's grace, his transforming news to us, his good news. You know, we're not just freed with hope through the fear of death, because that's true. I literally do not fear death. I fear how I die, just quietly. If I was hit by a bus, I'd fear that because it could be quite painful. You know, they could reverse back over me and back over again. You know, how I die is you know, I worry about that. You know, that's, I think, it'd be nasty, you know. I don't know. Does anyone else think that way? Or, okay, it's just me. So I have a fear about that. You know what I mean? I don't know. But do you know what? I don't fear death. I don't. I'm slightly excited. I know that's, you know, I'm excited about the fact that in death I go to heaven, which is going to be just incredible. It's just like, God, if I go, can I just go peaceably? You know, if I could pass away in my sleep, I don't know, choking on a piece of cheeseburger, I don't know, whatever. Just quietly just dissolve into heaven. I don't want to be that whole drag down the bus thing and, you know, that this is. Sorry. Forgive me. So we are freed from the fear of death. But we're also freed, with the hope of Christ, we're also freed from the fear of life. Amen? I think for a lot of people, life is more scary than death, correct? I read someone's post the other day and they just said, you know, what you need to do is just realize that this life is supposed to be hell. And then you go to heaven. It was from a Christian. I thought, wow, you need help. You know what I mean? You need some hope in your world. You need to realize that God is not just going to make it all bad. Are you with me? Now, this is really morbid. Seems I'm on the whole death thing. Can I just go here, though? There's three ways to commit suicide. Hang in there. I can take my own life. I can let myself die. And the third one is I can live my life without hope. True? You put out a flame in you that God's put in you. God's put a light of hope into your world. He's put it into your spirit. In his life, it's Christ. If you somehow lose the revelation of that and you just ignore it, can I describe what it looks like when someone does that? Can I be a little bit more morbid? See, originally it takes the form of boredom. When you lose hope, you kind of get bored. Then it goes to monotony, drudgery. Everything just seems like drudgery. Then you get feelings of being overcome by just an ordinary life. It's just everything's ordinary and nothing seems to be going your way. And then we start to admit in the inner part of our lives that our Christian calling is just too demanding and Christ is a little bit too sublime and not that involved in our detail anymore. He's a little bit distant. Yeah, he's for someone else. Yeah, maybe he works. Haven't seen him work in my life for a while. And we kind of lose the stuff of the gospel, the greatness. Kind of just merge into other people. This is what hope looks like as it starts to disappear from a Christian soul. You know, we stop responding to that living, vibrant, magnificent message of the gospel that's in our spirit. And we just start to, haven't had a miracle in years and don't feel like stuff's going. So when we allow the revelation of this light to diminish in us, let me tell you what happens. You become self-reliant. That's very quickly how it slides. Slowly away from God. And slowly it starts to center itself on you. And you start, if you rewound all your thoughts, about how you're going to get out of a situation and how you're going to do better and how that, and that's where people get hit with some hopelessness. See, this sort of self-reliance is completely opposed to what Christ has put in our spirit. Are you with me? See, the Christian work, it's initiated in the salvation of God, which you had, your salvation, which you had nothing to do with you and everything to do with Christ. John chapter 1 John 4:10, this is the love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You were loved before you loved. It's not an autonomous self thing. You can't build it on that. You've got to have that understanding that Christ, the true Christian hope, is in Christ. It's always that you know that he is with you. And whenever you get anywhere, you just resort back to what can Christ do? What can he do in my circumstances? What is he going to do right now to get me out of it? I mean, I love the whole context of all the disciples. They're standing there with thousands of people and they've got to feed them, and they're looking at their situation, and some little boy rocks up with a bag of bread, basket of bread and a few fish, and they can look at it all and they go, oh my goodness, this is hopeless. What are we going to do? Man, Jesus has told us to do something in this circumstance. We're called to meet, and you look at the ridiculousness of that practical, self-reliant situation. 5,000 people, a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. What the heck are you going to do? And I just, but what they did is they connected into the hope, the light of Christ. He looks at it and goes, phoom. Use that. That'll do. Bang! It just keeps, I don't even know how it happened. Maybe they just took a piece of bread out and no one popped in there. The same fish gets handed out. Phenomenal! That's the hope of Christ that's in you. Amen? No matter where you are, it's the hope of Christ that's in you. You cannot afford to look at your circumstances without coming to the hope of Christ that's in you. Maybe the bank could come out right now. We've got to entrust ourselves to Christ. See, hope's it's a gift. It's undeserved. You did nothing to get it. It's come from the grace of God. Do you know something about hope? The hope of Christ? Look at me. It thrives in challenges and difficulties. That's where it's best suited. That's when it comes to the forefront. That's where you've got to look at the circumstance, the challenge, and do what Paul did. You know, the fact is, Paul had some area in his life that he could never get over. We don't know whether it was a mental affliction. We don't know emotional hang-up, whether it was a person. There's so many different things. He said this thorn, this thing. But I love what he says about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, about this thing. He says, I've pleaded with the Lord three times to leave me. But he said, my grace is enough for you. My power is its best in weakness. So I shall be very happy to make my weakness my special boast, so that the power of Christ may stay over me. And that is why I am quite content with my weakness, my insults, my hardships, my persecutions, and the agonies I go through for Christ's sake. For it is when I am weak that I am strong. You know, clearly, he might have never got through that, but he lived out of the hope of Christ. So that thing didn't overcome him. Are you with me? There are people in this room, man, trying to get a hold of the hope. Feel accepted. Get a hold of the hope of Christ and live there. Get a hold of it. If your mind has started to head down the road of self-reliance, maybe you're just
traveled down, like I said, some of those emotions, some of those things, you allowed yourself to get into that, it's time to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go, you know what? I'm traveling down the wrong road. It's a dead end. Self-reliance is a dead end. Admit you cannot do it and admit that you need Christ and bring yourself back to a place of hope. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Jesus. Don't lose the revelation you've got.